So this week, as I've been seeking the Lord about what he would have me to share at India, a message came to me, and then as I studied it out, I realized, you know, there are a lot of times when a message, before it's complete and ready to deliver to a congregation, I find out, wow, you know, this is also for me. It can be for all of us. What I'm interested in sharing here and there is the subject of thirst, physically and spiritually. The definition of thirst is a strong desire. It can be for water. It can be for other things. And I was thinking of this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when he said in Genesis 2, he formed man out of the dust of the ground. You know, there's something for me to always remember about that. In fact, every once in a while, I need to go back and look at my roots. Where did I come from? What does it say? There's some verses that say, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You know what helps me with that is to remember where I came from. He took some dust and started it out for me. And he also lets me know, you know what? From dust thou art, and back to dust you're going to return. So when God said, let us make man, I look at what he did with that. Somehow, he made water to be an important part. I was reading this, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it says 60% of our body weight is water and must be replenished often. Another thing I read was it said a person can survive without food for maybe up to 3 weeks, as long as he can have water. But just a very few days and you're finished if you don't have water. And you know, so we say, okay, as long as I can be around water, it's good. Unless you're shipwrecked out in the ocean, you're surrounded with lots of water, but it's not the kind that will help you. An urgent need for fresh water. And then it made me realize, I have read before about Moses and taking the children of Israel through the wilderness. And somehow in my mind, as I think about it, it's a small group that he talks to, and they murmur to him, and he asks the Lord. But you know, there have been numbers given to us that it could have been over 1 million people. Yes. That he is leading. Now it boggles my mind. How does a person transfer message to the other side of 1 million people that here's what we're doing? The responsibility that he had to supply them. I was thinking, you know, if a city were going to be built here, go out in the country and we're going to build a city, one of the first things that they start looking in the planning part of it is, how am I going to get water to all of these places? It's a very important thing. So I thought about Moses, the responsibility that he had to, by God's help, provide what people needed, water, to be able to survive. And the plate, you know, he went through the Red Sea. There's plenty of water. But now we've got to travel on. And I just thought about that. Every day that you move from a place that had water, you're needing it again. What a desperate place he lived in, of constantly needing God to look down in mercy upon him and provide water. How much water does it take? You know, I hear where the Lord told him, smite the rock and water comes out. How much water does it need to be able to provide 1 million people? And how do you, I don't know what Oklahoma City is, but it may not be much over that. How would you provide water to sustain those people and get it to them? What a responsibility that he had. Then he gets them, he moves them. It's a city on the move, is what he's doing. He moves them to another spot now. Here's water. We come up to it, it's water. And they complain because the water's bitter. You know how much he needed God to be able to help him to provide. That's just one of the things. You remember when now they tell him, we're hungry. A million people hungry, and what are you going to do to provide for it? And yet we see God's provision go time and time helping them out. And you know what it tells me is he can help us out also in the daily needs that we have. You know, we read stories about people that would get stranded in a desert and the sun is scorching down. They're desperate for water. And they look up and they see a lake, a big lake out ahead. It's just a little ways away. And they start toward it. Maybe they're weak, but if I can just get to it, everything's going to be fine. Except that the longer they walk, it just seems to stay out ahead of them. You know what it's called? A mirage. You know, and it talks about in stories about that people try, they can see it. It's the shimmering of the heat with the sun. I'm most interested mostly this afternoon in the spiritual side of water. The thirst that I have. And I want to get it fulfilled. And I look up and I see it. It's out here. You know what? The world is full of that today. It can be entertainments. It can be social media. It can be so many things. If I can just get to this, it will be what I need. When all along the Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, there is a lot of hungering and thirsting after things today. And what I have to do with this message is say, Lord, you know, our little verse over there in Psalms 139, search me, O Lord, know my thoughts, my heart. You know, my heart that I'm asking him to look at is my desires. You know, where do I go to fulfill thirst, strong desires that come to me? There are a lot of things now that will fulfill that if we go for it. You know, I can spend my time just following the news. I can spend my time doing a whole lot of things. When this one just quietly says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, I would like to have a strong desire. I want to keep a strong desire, a thirst for righteousness. I want to be more like Christ in my life. You know, we're blessed if we follow that verse, but not everyone does. And then I have to say the question, what about me? And then I looked at a story that we all know well in Luke 15, except when we look at it from this angle today, it's a young man that got thirsty. And he needed that thirst to be fulfilled. And he looked out. He had this strong desire. And he looked up and he saw lots of water out in the distance. He was going to satisfy his thirst. And he goes to Dad and he says, give me what belongs to me. I'm heading out to get my thirst fulfilled. You know, this happens in the world all around us for young people that come to a place where we read about the prodigal son. We always just see it off of the angle that he's just, I want to go. You know what? He had a thirst. He had a strong desire for something that he wanted, needed to have fulfilled. A mirage. He took his journey and he wasted his substance in riotous living. Chasing this mirage that's out ahead, I'm almost there. You know, I can just see him in that city. Long as he had money, he had friends. And he sees happiness just ahead every day. Always just ahead. But you know, a person can only live a few days without natural water before he dies. You know, we can only live a few days before our soul starts drying up because of the things that I'm following after with a thirst. The prodigal son, you remember Moses, when he said he chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, when the young man went out, his dad could not tell him, "Son, I tell you what, there'll be no pleasures out there in sin. You won't find them. You're going to come back wasted." He couldn't say that because there were going to be some pleasures. It's just that Moses took a look at it and he saw that there would be pleasures out there, but said they're only going to be for a season. Yes. Prodigal son is an example of pleasures for a season, because then the famine came, like it does to so many people. You know, there's a verse that says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." That's not just for a woman, that's for a man too. And I was reading the commentary on that. That's not talking about a woman that is a sinful woman. It's just, it was talking about a woman that just lives for herself, which could be the same thing that can happen for a man. A thirst that is a strong desire. Eve was the first one that had it. A strong desire. What did it say about the tree? She looked at this tree after Satan has talked to her. And it says it was a tree that looked good for food, pleasant to the eye, and it was desired to make one wise. And she thirsted after it. You know, we have a verse over in 1 John 2 and 15 about some things that will a person can get thirsty for. And then this comes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Be real careful about thirst that I have. And these don't have to be for sinful things. It's just other things that will occupy my mind. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, the story of the prodigal son and his thirst has a good ending. It says he came to himself. I'm so glad that that story ended that way. Many people's story does not end that way. They continue throughout life to follow the mirage of what's going to satisfy the longings of my soul. How he came to himself, as he realized, he said, "You know what, my father's got hired servants that are living better than I am. I'm going to go back to him. I'm willing just to be a hired servant." There is a verse over in Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." What water is this talking about? Those wells of salvation, I think, that's available to us. "He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price." And look where we're spending our time and money. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good." So I'm thinking of the things that can occupy the places that I can go to fulfill my thirst. You know, there are people today that say, "I cannot drink just plain water. I have got to have something with it. And I can drink enough sweet drinks until water does no longer satisfies." You could tell me water is the best thing for you. But you know, if I drink enough sweet drinks, water just doesn't taste good to me. You can go down to Walmart now and you can buy flavored water. Just got to have something else to be able to drink it. And then I have to think about the danger spiritually. That I can come to the place where just the plain water of the word just doesn't quite satisfy. You know, I can fill my time with the things the world has to offer that has flavor. And I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about things that can just occupy my time, can fill up my day. But it has flavor to it, to where the Word of God, me just reading the plain Word of God, just doesn't have quite the same flavor. And here's an example. You know what? Things are different for me today. You know, I'm alone now. Evenings are long and quiet. I got options. I can pull out my phone and start drinking. And not anything sinful. I can get on Facebook and I can spend my evening till it's time to just fall over in the bed and go to sleep. Or other things to follow. There's just so many things available for us today that are not sinful. You know, I would quickly mark off the sinful thing because God's watching. But I have all these other things. You know, I can just go YouTubing at what people are doing. Or I got this thing and there's nothing wrong with it. I do it myself. I've got this problem with my car and I go asking what can be done for that. It is a very helpful tool for us. But if I'm not very, very careful, it can turn into what quenches my thirst when it really has not done me something good eternally. I can surf the net for legal things. And what I'm doing is I'm just filling space. I'm filling time. And I thought about that. Or I can have another option, and I've chosen to take this option. I can seek to develop more of a thirst for the Word of God. There are some verses that talk about somebody that did, and it's no longer just the minister saying, I tell you what, you need to read the Word. Now it has become a longing in the heart. Look at a couple verses in Psalms. You know, because we read the verses that talk about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then there's that verse that instead of it being a command, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This one is kind of like that. Psalms 42:1. I want this to be my desire. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And then I kind of look at this verse and I could say, Lord, I've got this desire for you. We're communicating. Scriptures are coming to me. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm going to have to go to work for a while, but I don't want you to leave. Look at this second verse. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, it's possible to live in a place where you can say, Lord, I tell you, I've got to go to work for a while, but I'd like to meet up with you again this evening. I'd like to continue this visit that we're having. This thirst that I have now for more like Christ, my heart is praying. This one is no longer a command, it's a desire. Look over in 63rd chapter. Psalm 63:1-2. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. You know, I am glad for the times when I wake up at 4:00 in the morning with a scripture coming to my mind. Because you know what? There's been times in the past when I woke up at 4:00 in the morning with a problem coming into my head. And it still does that sometimes too. That's why I enjoy the times that comes with a scripture instead. But I think about those times. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This thirsting that I have, you know, what is the song of 300? There is no thirsting for life's pleasures We have a thirst that must be filled one way or another. I get to choose how it's filled. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay, for I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And I am very thankful for that. Sister Rinda, if you have that song, I saw it, Fill My Cup, Lord, the woman at the well. I thought you had sung that before. Okay, I'll just give you the words. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that never shall run dry. It said there are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures that earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Then it says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. There are many people in the world today that are seeking to have this thirst quenched. And they're going after things, and I could just see the picture in my mind of chasing the prodigal son, chasing the mirage. It's just ahead. Happiness is just ahead for me. But instead it says, come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. There's another little piece in that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, that's not a force. What that is he has satisfied the longing that I had. Here it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, if I'm looking at a mirage, I'm still not satisfied when the ground has got deep grass all around me. I've got something else that I desire. Cheryl's grandpa Porter was telling me he would raise cows. He said, I had this cow. Seems like cows know no matter how deep the grass is in the pasture they're in, they will go to the fence and try to reach through to get something through a barbed wire fence, reach through, stretch the fence to get something on the other side. He said, I watched this cow of mine stick her head through the barbed wire fence to get something in that other pasture here. She nibbled all around that till she had her head turned clear around. Said she's trying to stick her head back through on the other side of the post to get in the very pasture that she's already in. I see some green grass. I got to have it. Well, it was already there for you to start with. You got a crick in your neck here for reaching through, trying to satisfy this longing. And you know what? We can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. And what I do is I set this boundary of what is sin and what is not sin. There's a lot of things that are not sin that can occupy my time. And you know, this is not to put me in a straitjacket, that you know what, I can't do anything that's enjoyable to do or watch anything that's enjoyable. I've got to just only read the Word of God. No, but what I want to do is have such a desire for the Word of God that I do what this was saying over in Psalms 42. As a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's another verse, Psalms 119. Tells a whole lot, gives a whole lot of verses about a longing that there is for God. Psalms 119. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. And in the 10th verse, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Not a divided affection. I've got this that I'm chasing, but I'd also like to have this. I'd like to be able to have them both together. You remember the verse that tells us it's not possible to serve two masters. I'm going to have to go all the way, one or the other. And that's the way with this one. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I've got one more verse. It's available to all of us. In Revelations, the 22nd chapter, and in the 17th verse, the call comes. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's not just a call for the sinner. That's a call that, you know what, if I've got a thirst, I can come. And I can drink of the water of life freely. In this day and time, where there is so much available for us, it's hard now for me to look back at the progress that the phone has made. I could never have imagined that it would happen. I remember when I was a child, we went to a place in California called the Epcot Center. And it was a place where people that could envision something way out in the future would put something down. And I went in there and I remember walking through it. And they said, the day will come when you will be able to use your telephone and see the person on the other end and talk to them. I thought, now that's a dream right there. You know, we barely had good reception with a regular phone to be able to use it. I don't know if y'all remember, most will not remember, but I can remember the time when Mom and Dad would plan for what time they were going to use the phone because the charges were different. You got charged more if you used a phone during daytime hours. You got a little discount if you used it in the evening, but you got a big discount if you would call your friends at 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. You could really save some money. Now, they may realize, you know what, he's doing this only to save money. But that's what we had for telephones back then. Look at what has changed today for us. What would it be if we were still just with a phone that had the 10 buttons on it, and you could call or receive a call. But now I can do so much more on it. And you know, I can please the Lord with all that I do on it. And what I want to do is live in a place to where he can tell me, Dan, you've reached your limit on this. You know, sometime Mom and Dad would let us know, okay, now you've played that game long enough. It's time to stop, get ready, and go to bed. You know, we want the Lord really to do that with us today. Because I need to have boundaries set in my life to where the first thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will find a place in there. We're going to have a thirst, every one of us. We're going to fulfill that thirst one way or another. If we want to have a carefulness in our life, the devil will crowd us with just being occupied with other things. But if I want to, I can be like the hart that panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. God can fulfill the thirst, the longings in our soul, to where this picture that we had this morning of coming up this pathway, heaven is out ahead. You know, whenever I have my desire set at that now, Lord, I love your word. I want you to be able to instruct me. But as if thy word is a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. I cherish it. I would like to have more of it. Lord, give me a better understanding of it. Help me to be able to deliver it to others in a better way. Because what I'm doing is I'm moving up this line here. I want to make heaven my home in the end. And you know what? I don't even want legal things to be a hindrance. I believe it was at Sister Patsy Kane's funeral. She had a song that was a favorite to her. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. You know, we need to have that song going over and over in our mind. Nothing. Nothing to hinder me here. Because someday his blessed face I long to see. It says something about it makes no difference what the cross, the cost, or how heavy is my cross. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. I want my thirst to be fulfilled in Christ. I desire your prayers.